Are you ready to receive?
Amen.
Now, all the kids in children's church, look at me right now. Every kid in children's church, just the kids now, are you ready to receive?
Yeah.
Oh, you can do better than that. I said, are you ready to receive?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. You're ready now. You're ready. We can go ahead. And I do want to encourage parents, you know, don't make the last Sunday of the month that Sunday you're going to skip church because of this. And I don't say we would. I'm just putting that out there because I know it puts a little bit more emphasis and a little more a responsibility on you. But you're doing your kids such a favor to have them sit under the Word of God. They might not fully understand everything right now. They might not be able to fully comprehend on a level that maybe we can, but their little spirits can. And the Bible says when the Word goes out, there's growth, praise God. And they'll grow and they'll be used. They'll see people, hands being laid on the sick. They'll be around, that's why I love having my kids around guest ministers. You know, we've been having our kids sit in church from the time they were little babies and 2, 3 years old. You sit there, you be quiet, pay attention. You know, bring some things for them to do when they're little like that. But it's just important for them to be watered by the Word. And so moms, dads, caregivers, you're doing an awesome job, praise God. And your kids will be blessed from this. And so let's go ahead and pray before we get into the Word. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done, for all that you've given to us. Father, help us this morning. Now, Lord, as I open my mouth, I thank you, you'll fill it. Because, Lord, I can't do this by myself. Father, I'm not smart enough. Lord, I don't have the education. I don't have the natural abilities and talents to stand up here and ooh and ah people, Father God. But you do. So, Lord, I thank you. The Holy Ghost always makes us look better than we are. So I thank you when I open my mouth, you'll fill it. My tongue will be like the pen of a ready writer, and I will speak words from heaven. I will hit the bullseye today and say exactly what you need me to say, exactly what people need to hear. And Father, we'll be blessed and we'll go forward and we'll be greater and better than we were before. And Father, we thank you for what's going to happen in this service today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, get ready to listen, take notes, and we'll have a good prize for you at the end. But go with me real quick to John 21 and verse 15. John 21 and verse 15, kind of a continuation from last week, but something very, very, very important that you need to know about today if you're going to grow and be helped. You know, last week we talked about the importance of having a pastor, didn't we? That the Bible says that. I didn't make that up. I didn't say that. You know, if he would have said that you're scattered without sheep, without an apostle, I'd say go find an apostle. If he said we're scattered without sheep, without a teacher or an evangelist or a prophet, I'd say you better go find one of those. But he says we're scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so we need a shepherd. Amen? We need a pastor. Praise God. It's one of the most important things you can ever do is to find where God has you, plant in that place and hear from your pastor. The pastor's there to bring you in some things. And again, I don't have time to go over everything, all the blessings that come from that. But your life changes when you get hooked up with a true biblical pastor. And the pastor has a role and a job to help you grow and to get into that. And in John 21, 15, it says, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16 is the same thing. We're not going to read it all, but verse 16 says the same thing. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I do. Jesus said, okay, feed my lambs. And in verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, who was Peter, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, lovest thou me? Why are you asking me this? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Well, what was Jesus emphasizing to Peter? Jesus wasn't trying to stroke his own ego. Come on, tell me how much you love me, Peter. I need to hear it. Jesus doesn't need his ego stroked.
Amen.
He was trying to get a point across to Peter that if you love me, the way you can prove and demonstrate your love is you can make sure that my sheep get fed. Now again, we mentioned this last week. This was not him talking about Jesus' 40 acres in the back lawn that's fenced in with some sheep and go out there and throw whatever sheep eat out there. No, he's talking about spiritual sheep. The Bible calls when we become Christians, we're sheep then, spiritual sheep. Ba-ba. And that's what we are, spiritual sheep. Well, just like natural sheep need to be fed, cared for, tended to, protected and things, so do spiritual sheep. That's why God gave you a spiritual shepherd in the pastor. And one of the pastor's main jobs for the sheep, and Jesus emphasized it here, he said, out of anything at all, the way you can prove is make sure that my sheep are fed. Well, what food is he talking about? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The feeding he's talking about is God's word. Peter said, desire the word like it's milk, like it's like a newborn baby would. Eat it up. Amen? It's what it is. It's spirit food for us. The only way we grow is through that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Timothy was a young pastor, and Paul admonished him here and encouraged him in something and told him something. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now remember, Jesus said, Peter, what you can do is feed. And the thing that Paul tells Timothy here, he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. This is a big thing to Paul. He says, I'm charging you in front of God Almighty. Well, what's going to fall out of his mouth what he says next is going to be important. If he's charging him in front of God Almighty and his kingdom, the next three words in verse 2 tell us everything. Preach the word to the pastor. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Why am I telling you this? Well, your job is to find a shepherd. Your job is to find a shepherd by following the Holy Ghost. And let me just make a statement here that the most of the body of Christ doesn't know, but let's just face it, most of the body of Christ don't follow the Bible. It's the truth. You don't just pick and choose what church you want to go to. No, no, no. 1 Corinthians 12 says that God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. Your place in the body of Christ is not for you to pick and choose on a map, on a Google search. Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to plant? And wherever that is, you go and you plant, you be faithful, and you start to hear the word and grow. Now, a lot of people will be called here. A lot of people won't be called here. But some will, and those that are, I encourage you to be faithful, plant, and start to grow, praise God. But without a shepherd, we mentioned this last week. And again, if I preach to you, you know, there's 52 weeks out of the year, and I preach to you 10, 15 weeks out of the year, and you know, you're there 1 week, don't see you for 8 weeks, you might call me your pastor. But the pastor sheep have a relationship of seeing one another, of sowing into the sheep. Paul said this, I desire that I may see you, that I can impart something spiritual to you. He said, I can't do it if I don't see you. That's what a sheep and a shepherd do. And so many people want to get above a lifestyle of harassment, above a lifestyle of scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed. I was talking to a young lady on the phone 2 weeks ago. And she's talking about how her life was in shambles. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you how to get turned around. Number one, get saved. She was. I said, the second thing you want to do, and it'll never change till you get a shepherd and get faithful in a local church. People are frustrated at home. Things don't work out. Things break down. Things break down their body. Their finances never work out. They don't have any favor. And I don't understand. This God stuff doesn't work. And they don't have a shepherd. They wonder why. You can't live above what He said you would have. We can't try to get blessed outside the boundaries. That's what I'm trying to say. Praise God. And we need a shepherd. And the shepherd's job is to feed. To feed. Praise God. Preach the word. Now, the word, the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So the word is God. What's he saying? Preach God into the people. Impart God into people. You get God imparted into you, and things can't help but change. It goes on to say in verse 14, I'm not going there for time's sake, and the word dwelt, the word became flesh, became human, and dwelt among us. Well, who is that? Jesus. Jesus is the word. The word is God. And that's what I'm supposed to preach, God unto people. Now, I'm getting to a point here. Now, let me first brag on some things about the Word. Would you pull up real quick, Heather, John chapter 10 and verse 10? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come. Well, what did we just say that Jesus was? He is the Word. So you could switch that out and say, the Word has come. You could say that because Jesus is the Word. They're not. You don't separate them. Amen? My arm is me, my head is me, my legs are me. Jesus is the Word. So you could say, the Word has come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. What's he saying? That the Word has the ability to bring you into abundant life. Well, what is that word life there? It's the word Zoe in the Greek, Z-O-E. What does that mean? The abundant God kind of life. Jesus says that the Word has the potential to bring you into a life like God enjoys. Well, what's a life like God enjoys? Health, peace, prosperity, joy, victory, favor, protection, right? Freedom from fear and anxiety and depression, worry, worry-free. That's abundant heaven on earth. And didn't Jesus pray that people would experience heaven on earth? His one of the most famous prayers he prayed, Father, thy will be done on the earth just like it is in heaven. What's he saying? He wouldn't pray for something that wasn't possible. Because a lot of people have the idea, I can't experience heaven until I get to heaven. No. Jesus said, I want you to experience heaven before you get to heaven. Well, what is that? That's called abundant life. Well, the Word has the ability to transform you into abundant life. I'm talking about the Word here this morning. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. You know what that word quick means? Alive. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. Why don't things change in our lives when we're unfaithful to this place? When we're unfaithful to be watered because you don't have anything alive and supernaturally powerful working for you? I'm going to get to some things here. The Word is alive and it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise God. We don't even need to go the rest of the verse. Stop right there. The Word is powerful and life-changing. Remember over there in, for time's sake, Mark chapter 4, what we call the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, the sower sows the Word. I'm the sower this morning. It says that the Word, he likens it to, you know, Jesus a lot of times used natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. And he was using, talking about a farmer in the previous verses before, how a farmer goes out and casts seed on the ground. Some falls on the wayside, some falls on the stony ground, and some falls on the thorny ground. And the wayside, the stony ground, and the thorny ground don't get much of a harvest. But when the farmer sows the seed on the good ground, it produces. Well, then he says in verse 14, the sower sows the Word. So now Jesus likens the Word to being a seed. So when the sower sows the Word, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm sowing the Word. It falls somewhere. Just like when a farmer goes out and throws the seed out, it falls on a certain kind of ground. Well, I'm sowing the Word right now, and it's falling on ground. What's the ground? You're the ground. When we've had the parable of the sower series, the Bible calls you ground. What Pastor Mike says is, you're all a bunch of dirt bags. That's what the Word says. We're ground. Amen. But what happens when that seed is sown, if it lands on bad ground, and we're trying to help you not be bad ground, if it falls on good ground, what's it say? It produces 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. What's he saying? The same way when a seed falls on good ground, it looks a certain way, but over time, it changes for benefit, for blessing, for harvest. That's what happens when the Word gets sown. But a lot of times people are not in their sowing times or receiving times. And they want things to change and they desire things to change. But the Word is quick and powerful. So why does things change? Because The word that's alive, that is God, remember the word is God, gets sown into you, there can't help but be change. It's God Almighty. The best story, I could name a bunch of stories, but the best story that I can tell you about the word being sown and being quick and powerful was a lady that Pastor Tim and I helped from the Jamestown Church. She was so in bondage mentally, in fear, in mental torment. This is no joke, real life stuff. She would sit when her husband would leave, she would sit in her garage all day long and not move and get out of that seat staring out the window of the garage until he got home. Wouldn't use the bathroom, wouldn't go inside, wouldn't make any food, wouldn't go to the store, wouldn't leave the house. Even when he was home, wouldn't leave the house. Just a mental a bondage from the devil. Just a demonic activity. That's demonic. And she just sit there and stare. And someone that knew her husband went to the Jamestown Church and we got hold of the story. We got together. We said, the word can change this. So we got asked her, her husband, if when you go to work, put a CD player on. And we gave him a stack about this thick of CDs of preaching sermons back when we used to record them, you know, before it was on live stream, of sermons that Pastor Tim and I preached. This one on, I mean, this was an ongoing situation in her life, torment. Said she don't have to do anything, just put the word on. Just put the word on. That's like when we say, well, why is my five-year-old or six-year-old in church? They can't get anything. Oh, yes, they can. It's God's getting sown into them. God's getting sown into them. And every seed produces a harvest. You want God harvest in your life. That's why I bang the drum of church attendance. That's why I bang the drum of Wednesday night. Listen, whether or not you show up or not doesn't change my life. I'm going to preach as if I'm preaching to 100 people or 100 million. I'm going to still shout, scream, spit, and veins are going to pop. Doesn't matter to me. It affects you and helps you. I got to do this regardless. That's like I like the story Pastor Nancy told about Dr. Dufresne. Dr. Dufresne was a people watcher. Before services, he'd peek out the office and see. And one time he'd always talk to her about how many people were there. He didn't like when people wouldn't show up. Dr. Dufresne was a hoot. And he said to her one day, well, it doesn't look like many people are there. And she snapped on him. He said, what do you want me to do about it? What do you want me to do about it? I can't do anything about it. I got to go out there and preach the word, whether all the seats are full or whether they're not. She said, don't ever from this day forward tell me anything more about the people in the church. If they come, they come. If they don't, they don't. But if you don't, it's messing up your life, not mine. Amen. My family's going to be in church. My kids are going to be in church. They're going to get the word. They're going to get God sown into them. That's up to you. If you want to or not, praise God. But it's powerful. And she sat there hour after hour just listening to the CDs. Put one on and hit on repeat. Listen to the same one all day long. She wouldn't get up and change it. Well, after a while, she started getting up and going to use the bathroom at her house. She started getting up and changing out the CD when I want to hear a different one. After hearing the same one for 4 hours, I hear a different one. Started to go where her time started diminishing in the garage, and she started spending a little more time in her house. To finally, the word, she's doing nothing. Jesus isn't showing up. Angels didn't show up and bust these chains off spiritually. The word got in her. The word that's alive and powerful. Alive and powerful got into her. To eventually, she's not sitting in the garage anymore. She ends up coming into church, getting on fire for God, and her husband serving in Pastor Tim's ministry. That's a word miracle. Amen. That's what happened. Well, that's what the parable of the sower said. When it falls, the word falls. You sit under the word. You can't help but change. I think about my life. January 10th, 2002, I got saved, and Reverend Randy gave me a men's devotional NIV Bible, and I tore that thing up. What I mean by that is I was reading it. It was just life unto my starving spirit, and I just read it, and things started falling off me. Addictions didn't have a hold on me anymore, and wrong thoughts didn't have a hold on me anymore, and prosperity started to show up, and health started to show up, and I got under the word, and I went to midweek services, and I went to Sunday services, and I went to guest minister meetings. Why? I needed to have God in me. It's the truth. Praise God. The word is our help. Now remember that. That's my job, to preach the word. Now why am I showing you this? Because the word is everything. If the devil can get the word out of your life, he's got you. That's why in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, it says the sower sows the word. And the Bible says, and the devil comes immediately to take away the word. He wants to get the word out of your life. He'll do anything he can. I was talking to someone about the importance of being here. And how you want your life to be better than... Because I said, Jesus said, without a pastor, you'll be dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. She goes, that's my life. That's my life. I said, doesn't have to be your life. Just do what Jesus said. I said, okay, I'm going to change. I said, get ready for everything, including the kitchen sink, to be thrown at you to keep you from this place. Get ready for kids to act up and chaos and things to happen and just all of a sudden. Why? The devil wants to keep you from here. Because why? The word leads to faith. Faith leads to the shield. Shield leads to the quenching of the fiery darts. And he can't penetrate that. Amen. So what I'm highlighting today is something you have to understand about the word. Go with me to John chapter 6 and verse 25. John chapter 6 and verse 25. Think about this. Whether or not you come or don't come, the change is nothing for me. And if you say, well, that would change the offering amount. No, let me remind you, if you have that thought, I started this church with nobody except her and him and her belly, with no salary and no hope of, no light at the end of the tunnel when I was going to get one either. God's my provider, not your tithes and offerings. Now, are they used to go forth to pay in the salary? Yes, that's a biblical thing. But that's not how we started around here. God met my needs for over 2 years without one dime from the church. And if I had to go back to it, let's do it again. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. God's my provider. Ain't a paycheck. It's not a paycheck. Somebody need to get your faith off your paycheck. Get your faith on him. Well, my paycheck has... I can never go on vacation. You know how much I get paid? Oh, so God's limited by what your paycheck says now. Huh. Well, you can't get across the body of water without a boat, but God didn't need a boat to bring the children across the Red Sea. He didn't. You need... When we're doing an experiment to have a baby, a 99-year-old and a 90-year-old are not the ones you pick. Didn't matter to God. Doesn't matter. Amen. Got to get your faith on him. So why I say that is because when I preach this and get fired up, and I constantly tell people about Wednesday night, it's because it will change. Listen, I've preached to, Jeff, you remember the service in the storefront, a midweek service? It'd be me, you, and another guy. I'd pray all day long and drive out here and drive all the way home to preach to three people. And was I just as fired up back then? Absolutely. Matter to me. So what's my agenda? My agenda is you. My agenda is actually being someone that dares to stand up here and tell you the best thing for you and your family. This place is the best thing for you and your family. It's the best. Power's going out. Life's going out. It's being sown into you, praise God. But you need to know something about the word. John 6 and verse 25. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord just showed me. I can't say who. I'm not permitted to say who, but the Lord just showed me a vision. Someone within our walls, if you'd submit to having a shepherd, your life would change. I saw it, just saw it, just in a quick instant. I wasn't even thinking about anything. Just showed it. A lack of submission to a shepherd is hindering everything in your life. Makes me want to tear up and start crying because you're going through things so unnecessarily, but you haven't submitted to a shepherd. Amen. Well, thank God for the Holy Ghost. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi. Now, Heather, I'm just going to read down through a lot. You just kind of keep up with me, and every once in a while I'll reference where we're at. But Rabbi, John 6:25, when did you come here? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves that were filled. Now, if you look at the previous verses... Praise God. That's when they had the miracle of the fish and the bread. He says, you're not here because of the miracles. You're here because you got fed and you want more. People like handouts. Like free stuff, don't they? Yeah, absolutely. He says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him God the Father has sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And I'm just going to go down through this fast, stop every once in a while. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who sent me. They said therefore unto him, what sign do you show us then, that we may see and believe? What do you work? What a dumb question. They just saw him multiply a basket of fish and bread for thousands of people. And now they're saying, show us something. Show us something. What more do you need to see? Where are we at? 30? Our fathers, verse 31, did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives light unto the world. Who's he talking about? Himself. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. And everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, that I will raise him up the last day. So he's preaching about everlasting life. He's preaching about something that will change their eternity and change their life on earth. Then the Jews murmured at him and said, because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, oh, here we go. It's always attached to dishonor. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? If somebody in my midst multiplies basket of bread and fish and can feed 5,000 just men, the Bible says, didn't even include the women and children. Now, they got fed, but the Bible didn't include them in the numbers, so it could have been 10 to 15,000 people. I'm going to think there's something up with this guy. That's just me. I've not seen that before. But if I did, you better believe I'm taking notice. Verse 43, let's go to 43. And Jesus answered, said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? He wasn't talking about gnawing on his arm. He's talking about consuming him spiritually. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he may eateth me, he shall ever live by me. 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, for he that eats of this bread shall live forever. I mean, he's drilling this into them. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, everybody say many. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard, who can hear this? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Now, I'm getting to the title of the sermon today halfway through, but that's okay. Yeah. Bill told me today I can do whatever I want around here. That's what he said. I asked him to do something with the music. He said, Pastor, you can do whatever you want. I thought, praise the Lord, so be it. So I guess I could do whatever I want. I could get to the title in the middle. Bill told me. Praise God. And he says, does this offend you? What's the title today? Don't let the word offend you. You know what that word offend means? It means to stumble or to trip up. He's saying, is what I'm saying tripping you up? Is what I'm saying causing you to stumble? Now we know that what he's saying is life and it's perfection and it's from God because he is God. Verse 62, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He just told them what the words he's saying, spirit and life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now look at verse 66. Now, this is what I want to tell you. We just got done telling you that the Word is Jesus, the Word is God, the Word is powerful, the Word brings change, the Word is alive, and Jesus just preached the Word. Jesus, the most perfect man, minister, most anointed there ever was, just preached the Word. We know there's no flaws in what he said. There's no wrong doctrine in what he said. There's nothing in what he said that was not sheer perfection. And look what it says in verse 66. From that time, from that sermon, many, everybody say many, of his disciples. What's a disciple? Someone that followed him. From that moment, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What'd they do? Turned their back on the Word and went a different direction. Why? Because they heard something that was biblical that rubbed them the wrong way. Now, why am I telling you this? Because you can't get above dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, and helpless without a shepherd. And a true shepherd, you can try to go find someone else if you want to. The Lord's leading you. But you're just going to plant any old church, just call it a church. All churches are not created equal. A true church has a shepherd called by God who preaches the Word. Because that's what they're supposed to do. So let's say you're called here. Well, you did your part by having a shepherd, following God and obeying God. Now I got to do my part, which is preach the Word. But what we see here is something that sets precedence for us. That there is doctrine and Word at times that will rub people the wrong way. It was a very uncomfortable doctrine to them. It wasn't what they were used to. What do you mean this bread? We like the bread that we had in the past from the manna that fell from the sky. Remember, that's how God supernaturally fed them when they came out of Egypt. We like that bread. We like it our old way. So what you're saying, Jesus, I don't want anything to do with that. It doesn't make sense to our minds and our flesh, so we're leaving. They just turned away from that which is powerful. Because you need to know that, because if I'm your shepherd, get ready to be rubbed the wrong way at times. Be ready to hear things that are uncomfortable to you, because the Word in itself at times is uncomfortable, because the Word is spirit and we are flesh. And the Bible says the flesh and the spirit, Galatians chapter 5, are warring against one another. So when you hear spirit words, your mind's not going to like it all the time. Your flesh isn't going to like it all the time. But you got to bring it back and say, is it Bible or is it not Bible? Because look what it says in verse, he said, from that time many disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then, verse 67, Jesus said unto the twelve disciples now, at least they hadn't left yet. He says, will you also go away? Are you going to leave too? Notice he wasn't begging them to stay. He just wanted to know, are you going too? He didn't care. See, when you know you're preaching truth, you don't care that there's a whole empty row right there. You don't care. You don't care that you see empty seats scattered around. I'm going to proclaim the Word, the hungry ones will come, the hungry ones will plant, and the hungry ones will grow. That's all I care about. I don't care if we have the biggest church in town or in Chautauqua County, Cattaraugus. It doesn't matter to me. Let's just get the people that we have here growing, walking in the things of God, and going out and changing the world. Amen. Jesus took 12 people and changed the whole world. We got more than 12 in here. Let's just all get on fire for God and change the world. Amen. I mean, if we have to blow the walls out of this thing and build somewhere else and buy a new property and have a bigger building, so be it. But if we never do, so what? Amen. We'll grow on the inside and grow big. Praise God. And he said, will you also go away? Now listen, the 12 that are still there, they heard the same exact message. Jesus talking about the bread and the flesh and drinking his blood, and he's everlasting life and he's the bread that came from heaven, and they had their bread in the old days, but those people are dead. He's there preaching that. The disciples heard it. The ones that left heard the same message. And look at what Peter says in verse 68. Simon Peter answered him. Remember, Jesus asked him, are you going too? Lord, to whom shall we go? Where the heck are we going to go? Where are we going to go? What's he saying? Not many people are doing and saying what you're saying. Where are we going to go? Right? Hallelujah. Now, this is what I want you to see. Peter said to him, he said, where are you going to go? Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. What did Peter say? The reason, Jesus, we're staying with you isn't because you have the best worship team in town. Isn't because you have programs for kids all the way up till they're 18. I had a lady, and this is the true story. I'll tell you the truth. I'll lie to you. Pastor, I've never heard the word like you preach it. Well, she just never had heard the word before. And I just happened to be the mouthpiece preaching it. I've never heard the things that come out of your mouth. I've never knew this stuff was in there. But you don't have anything for my 12-year-old. So I'm leaving. You're what? Oh, and I've had people say to me, you wish you could put their pictures up to show they're real and you'd know who they are. Say to me, Pastor Mike preaches the strongest, this is the someone replay, preaches the strongest word that I've ever heard, but there's just not enough social programs in that church. Had a lady sit with me, she was in the meeting, over in the old sanctuary, in the back office. Pastor Mike, you're my pastor. Never heard anything like this before. I said, watch out. Watch out. Watch. Famous last words. A couple months later, Pastor, I'm leaving. Why? You don't have a youth group. This will make you laugh. This is a good one. Listen, when I say this, first of all, Jeff's going to come back with some nice comment for me because as one person said it, Pastor Mike must pay him to amen, and Pastor Mike must pay him to be for him. We heard it all. The devil will say anything to get you to bite it, and some people bite that bait. But what I'm about to say, Jeff's going to say something nice to me back, but it's just the truth. Your pastor knows he's not musical. I know I'm not the most. Reverend Tony Jones at the Jamestown Church, that man's musical. Mercy at the Throne Church, she's musical. Now, my heart's right, and I worship God just as much as them as far as my heart. But talent goes, I get it. But someone said to me, same thing, Pastor, the word you preach here. But I just don't like your worship team. That's what they've said to me, and they leave. I'm not kidding. You hear it all. I had a lady one time tell me when I got done with worship, she came up to me and she said this. Two occasions, I'll tell you about two different times, came up to me and said, well, you just chase the anointing right out the back door with that music. So she said to me, right before I went to preach, said that to me. Had another guy sitting in the back. They're not here today, so don't look at all the guys in the back. It wasn't Mark or wasn't Paul. one of them guys. Said to me right during the greeting time, that was the worst music I've ever heard in my life. Never came back. That's what they said to me. I'm not making this stuff up. And they're gone. And they go to their little fleshy churches that have the programs or have the hour-long worship team with the smoke and light show. And I'm not against the smoke and light show, and I'm not against the social programs, and I'm not against the children's programs, but if they're void of the word, I'm against them. That's the truth. And he said to him, Jesus, I'm not going anywhere. Not because of your social programs, not because of your worship team, but because what comes out of your mouth is everything we need. And that's it. When she said to me, we don't have anything for my 12-year-old, I said, yes, I do. I have the word of God for him. I have the word of God for him. Praise God. This is one of the reasons by being a Word and Spirit church why we won't be the biggest church in town. Because there are parents that don't want to have to sit and tell their kids be quiet and be a parent. But we have parents that do in here, praise God. But we won't be because people won't come around because we don't have all the stuff. But what we got. What we got. I'm not talking about me. What we got in the content of this book and going forth is everything you need. It's everything you need. He didn't say anything about anything else except for what came out of Jesus' mouth. And Peter was so smart in doing so. Well, they don't have anything for my 12-year-old, but that man preaches the word like I've never heard before. That's someone that doesn't recognize the value of the word of God. Well, I don't like your worship team. They don't play the right songs, and there's not instruments and things like that, and it doesn't tickle my flesh. That's someone that doesn't recognize the value of the word of God. Somebody's got to be truthful in 2019. Somebody has to tell the truth and not worry about filling seats and not worry about tickling ears. Praise God. Now I want to show you something in the Word here. Go with me. So here we see Jesus preach the Bible. We had one group of people, can't do this, they left forever. And one group of people that recognized it. Notice the smaller group stayed. The bigger group left. The 12 stayed, the many left. Just because you see, you remember my Florida vision God gave me when I was in Florida 2 years ago, Reverend Greer? Maybe it was a year ago, I don't know. It wasn't this past January, it was the year before, so I guess a year and a couple months ago. I had a vision. I've only had a few visions in my life. And I had a vision, and I was behind the pulpit of three churches that I had never walked through the doors of, but I was behind the pulpit. And these are churches that are huge. They have the smoke and light show. They have talented musicians. And we're believing God for talented musicians. They have all the stuff, the huge buildings, everything that you could imagine. I mean, they have it. And I thought, what is this? I knew it was God when I saw it. And I was in that. And the Lord said to me, He said, if I put you in that church, you'll clean that place out fast. And at first I got nervous because I said, Lord, I don't want to be known as the clearing out, the pastor with the clearing out ministry. He said, no, it has nothing to do with you. He says, it has everything to do with me. He said, because if you'll go in those churches, you'll bring me with you. He knows I'll preach the word. I don't give a flutie-tootie. I will say whatever He wants me to say. I will preach whatever He wants me to preach. I don't care how people look at me. I don't care what people think about me. It is the words of eternal life. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The word is the power to change your lives. Somebody's got to tell it to you. And a lot of times people are afraid to say it because you talk about things that step on their toes or rub them the wrong way or make them uncomfortable, and they'll leave. And pastors need to get over empty seat syndrome and not be afraid of empty seats. I'm not, vying or hoping for empty seats, but I want seats filled with hungry people that want the word. And He started to show me. He said, they don't talk about tithing in that church. Go ahead and start banging the drum on tithing and watch that church get smaller and smaller and smaller. He said, they don't talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues because it's weird to them. They don't understand it. And they're afraid if they talk about the Holy Ghost, it's going to offend people. He said, you go in there and preach your messages on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's my second favorite topic to preach about, besides faith. He said, go in there and preach that. Watch it start to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. Go in there and preach about sin. And now it's not okay to go down and hang out the bars. And now it's not okay to act like the world when you are Jesus on the earth. The Bible says we're the light of the world. We're supposed to be showing people the love and the light of God, not acting like the sinner. So go in there and preach on holiness. Yeah. The dirtiest four-letter word in the church today is holy. It's the dirtiest word in church. You can't say that in church. Be holy. But God said, be holy as I am holy. I've heard people say, well, that's how Pastor Mike lives, and he's a pastor. The Bible doesn't say be holy as Pastor Mike's holy. It says be holy as God is holy. He trumps my holiness. He exceeds my holiness. Go in there and preach on holiness and preach against sin and preach on righteousness and watch the numbers go down. Yeah. It's called seeker-sensitive flesh churches. and they're multiplying like little gremlins. Remember gremlins? You dump water on them. You feed them after midnight. Poop, 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 poop. They just pop up. That's like these secret sensitive churches. Pop, 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 pop. One minister said he moved into a big city. He said one church started up. Within 2 weeks, they had over 250 people there. He said he went and visited. Never mentioned anything about tithing. Never mentioned anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Never mentioned anything about divine healing. Don't preach on faith. It's basically stand up and tell people something to encourage them, to make them feel good about themselves. Gives them no power to change their lives, but they'll come back next week because they felt good while they were here. Jesus didn't care that the masses couldn't receive it and were offended by it. He didn't give a rip. He knew what he was saying was truth, and what he was saying was a blessing and going to help people. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Can I commend you all real quick? Because I'm saying this not to blow smoke at you. I feel like in my pulpit here, with the people that are here and the people that come Wednesday nights, well, I'll say it this way. The devil, the worst days that I have used to be Sunday afternoons. When I got done preaching, the bombardment in my mind, the devil, just because my heart is for people to receive, and I know if I could get people to be faithful and sit in these seats, life will change for them. If I could just get them to do it. And so then I'll say something bold or something, the devil will give me thoughts, oh, they'll never come back after that, never come back after that. He doesn't even mess with me on that anymore. At times maybe, but not like he used to, because I respond this way. Those people love your word and they won't go anywhere. I know that you are lovers of God's word. Doesn't mean it's going to always be comfortable. Doesn't mean it's never going to step on your toes. Doesn't mean it's not going to, you know, mow your grass backwards and pet your fur the wrong way. Doesn't mean that. But you love the word. I believe that. And so I believe I have freedom to say what God wants me to say around here. Amen. And at times, some people might go and the garden needs to get weeded out a little bit, but get the garden weeded out in the natural and it grows better. Not everybody will be called here and to stay here. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 20, I want to show you something about Jesus, because this was Jesus preaching, and a ton of people left him and a few stayed, and he was Jesus. He was perfect. I'm almost done, kids. I'm almost done, kids. Let me just say, you guys did awesome today. Man, haven't heard a peep out of them. Just paying attention and listening. Hang on with me. We're almost done. Ephesians 2 and verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now look at this, Jesus Christ. Who else is Jesus? The Word is Jesus. Being the chief cornerstone. What's the chief cornerstone of a building? It's the place where you build upon. It's signifying it's solid foundation. Build upon that thing. And that's what it says. Built upon Jesus being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus or the Word is something you can build your life on. Amen. Prosperity shows up. Healing shows up. Change in your kids. Victory in your life. Peace and protection, all these things come from the Word. So remember that, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the builder. Now go with me to 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. I'm almost done, kids. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. And I want to say this to the parents. Maybe when you found out there was no children's church today and all of a sudden you got thoughts maybe of fear and worry. I'm going to help you right now with something that will bless you. Oh my gosh, my kids got to sit here. What's this going to look like? How's this going to be? They did awesome. They did awesome. The devil's a big fat liar. He's a big fat liar. Even if your kid was upset, even if your kid was didn't want to do it and thoughts came, oh my gosh. No, they did awesome. They made it. They're alive and well. They're going to get a prize afterwards. The devil is a big fat liar. And he lies to us. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. He said, unto you therefore which believe, he, Jesus, the Word, is precious. But unto them that are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And not only is he the chief cornerstone, verse 8, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the Word. Remember what Jesus said? Does this offend you? What does that word offend mean? To stumble, to trip up. Well, Not only is Jesus the chief cornerstone that you can build your life on, he's also the stumbling block, the stone of offense. Well, that's what happened in John chapter 6, wasn't it? He was the Word, and what happened? Some built their life on it, some stumbled, never came back. That's what's going to happen around here. You got to make sure, people, and this is what will help you going forward in the next week, because we can't preach them all today, man. Then we might be changing our tune on how our kids are acting. And I'm talking about mine first and foremost. I mean, we got to get these kids out of here. We're getting to the limit here. And you got to make sure that you do not get offended at God's Word. How did it offend them? It was uncomfortable. It was something they didn't understand. It was something they never heard before. It was something they weren't taught when they were younger. Hallelujah. And it offended them. But Peter said, what you're saying is Word. Doesn't matter if I don't understand it. Doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable to my flesh and my mind. It's the Word of God. When I preach the Bible, and you can see it on the screen and look in your Bible and see it there, no matter what your mind and your flesh say, it doesn't change the fact that this is God's Word. It's perfect. You might have to line up and you might have to renew your mind and put your flesh under, but you got to make sure in a church with a true shepherd that's preaching the Word, you have to know that at times it's going to be an opportunity for you to stumble over that thing. When Pastor Mike preaches on the tithe and the offering, oh, that's an opportunity for people to grow. I've seen that message change people's financial lives, and I've seen them take them out of church. Same message. One was a stumbling block, one was chief cornerstone. I've seen the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues wig people out and freak them out, and they're never here again. Stripped them up. And I see other people get filled with the Holy Ghost that changed their lives. Same word, same message. One was a stumbler, one was a builder. I've seen it. Hallelujah. Could go on and on and on. The prosperity doctrine. Preach on prosperity. Oh, you want to stir people up? Start talking about their money. And preach about prosperity. That stirs up the devil. Why? He doesn't want you prosperous. Some people, that message causes them to stumble. The sowing, the reaping, the giving, the prosperity, what God wants for you. And some people, they hear that and, I don't have to be poor anymore. I don't have to be broke anymore. God's given me a way out. And the same message can be, all he talks about is money. All he's looking for is money. And they go off and they live their poor lives. And I'm telling you the truth. It's true. It's the truth. Hallelujah. We're not going to be that way, are we? We're not going to be that way. Praise God. So next week we're going to continue into how not to get offended at the Word. And I'm going to help you. Because if you stick around here long enough with me, something that I'm going to say, it'll always be in the Bible. Something I'm going to say is going to, ouch, or that's not how I was taught, or that doesn't make sense. That's weird to my mind. And the temptation is going to be to not come back. I had somebody, I won't say until she gives me permission to say it in this church out loud because it's going over live stream, I won't say who. But one of our faithful people here said that we're known in town as the cult church. The cult church. So I don't understand that. I said, they've never even been through our doors. Don't even come to hear what we have to say. Think of the thoughts, the devil. And we're talking about people that are coming from churches that they said, not teaching me the Word, not getting anything. And the devil's keeping them right there, telling them, don't go down to that church down the road at 213 Pine Street. One person, was it you, Corey, that told me, thought we were a Muslim church. That's the Muslim church. What? What? What is the devil saying to people? You know why? You want to know something? I'm going to say it. This area has never seen what it has now. It's never had somebody to come in here. I'm not belittling the other churches saying they're not doing things for God. Don't misunderstand me. But someone in this town to stand up and teach faith, to preach God, signs, wonders, and miracles, how their lives have changed. And the devil hates it and hates us. And so people down the road will say, yeah, it's a cult church, without even stepping through the doors, because the devil will fill their head to keep them out of this place. It's true. But yet so many people's lives are being changed and turned around, and supernatural things are happening behind these walls. Praise God. Well, we'll just keep living blessed and show them, and eventually they're going to get sick of wallowing around in depression. Sick of wallowing around in sickness and disease. Sick of wallowing around in poverty. Sick of wallowing around in anxiety and stress, and see free people, filled people, joyful people. Doesn't mean hell doesn't come to us, but when hell comes to us, doesn't change our smile. Doesn't change our victory. Why? We know we're getting through it. Amen. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling any other church. I can only speak on what I know and what I've seen, what I've been told, and what I've talked to people about. I'm sure there's lots of places doing great things for God, but I'm just telling you, South Dayton has never seen the Word preached like we preach it here. I'm just telling you by the Spirit. I didn't say the preacher's doing the thing. I'm saying the Word that's preached this area. Why do you think God, if the Word was already being preached here, why would God put us here? Wouldn't need to be here. Wouldn't need it. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. Kids, you did awesome. Praise God. Father, we love you and praise you. Bless you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, you know my heart when I say these things. But I know we have the words of eternal life here. And Peter said, that's the only reason I'm going to stay with you, is because what you're saying is changing my life. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Oh, Father, I pray for each and every person listening by live stream or here in this service today. Father, that they would have their eyes open to this, Father. That their hearts would be sensitive to the Word. That when things come across their plate that maybe challenge how they're living, and or challenge how they think, or challenge what they're used to, or challenge how they feel, that they would recognize that the Word of God is the best, most powerful, right way they could go. And that they would put their flesh down, and put their mind down, and put their feelings down, and put their thoughts down, and put their traditions down, and say, I want to go the way of the Word. I want to go the way of the Word. Jesus, so many people turned away from you, and you had everything they needed. Well, Lord, we're going to share you in this place, and you're everything that we need. Lord, we're going to keep this train moving down the Holy Ghost highway. Praise God. So, Father, I pray for each person here that their eyes will be opened, that they get stronger and grow in the things of God. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. If you're here and you could say, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I've ever received Jesus or not. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. The Bible says that if you ask Jesus into your heart and believe on Him, that when your final day on earth is up, you'll go be with Him. Now, if you've asked Him in your heart and you've confessed your belief in Him, you don't have to do it again. I don't care what the devil's telling you. God didn't change His mind on you. I don't care if you had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, a bad 10 years. It doesn't matter. If you got saved, you're saved. He didn't leave you nor forsake you. You might have to repent and redo some things and get back in line, but if you're here this morning and with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you can say, Pastor Mike, I do believe in Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I do want to go to heaven. I do believe in Jesus. But I've never officially accepted Him. Listen, it's not about church attendance. It's not about having your good works outweigh your bad. It's about receiving Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you want to, and you want to go to heaven, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hand high in the air? Anybody want to receive the Lord this morning? Anybody want to receive the Lord? You can put your hand down. Remember, if you've done this before, you don't have to do it again. But if you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, would you raise your hand if you want to? Anybody at all? For that person that raised their hand, along with everybody in the church, let's invite Jesus into our heart. Now remember, once you do this, you don't have to do this again. I don't care what the devil tells you. Go ahead and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Brothers, if you want to get the communion elements ready, we're going to take up communion. Now, I want all the kids to pay attention and look at me now when I'm telling you about this. They're going to pass you out a little cup of juice and a little thing of bread. Don't drink that juice and don't eat that bread yet. And brothers, you can come forward and go ahead and serve the people. I want to explain to the kids what we're doing here. So kids, y'all look at me until they come, and then you can look and take your cup and stuff. But what we're doing is we're taking up a thing called communion. And what it is you're going to get a little cup of juice and a little piece of bread. And I'm going to read some verses in the Bible. You guys can go ahead and come forward. Thank you so much, brothers. And I'll show you here in a second. Thank you. In the Bible, it says they take up communion, and the bread, it represents Jesus' body. And the cup of juice represents the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to read some verses that are pertaining to this. And what this is doing is it's helping us remember what Jesus did for us through his body and through his blood, which I'll explain when I read these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, I'm going to read after it's passed out. But what we can do, kids, once you get your bread and juice, just go ahead and close your eyes and thank Jesus. Say, what do I say, Pastor Mike? Just thank him for your family. Thank him for all he's done for you. Thank him for your health. Thank him for all the good things you have. Thank him that you have get to go to heaven. That's what we do at home. Let's just thank him. Lord, we thank you today. We're so grateful, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Jesus, we thank you. You love us. You love us so much. You're so good to us. So good to us. Father, I thank you that you have a good plan for our lives. I thank you that you love us so much. That's how you worship God. So that's what you do in the seats. Just worship God. You close your eyes and just talk to him like Pastor Mike's talking to him. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for helping us when we are in trouble. Thank you for helping us when we don't know what to do. Lord, you are so good to us. We're thankful to know you, Jesus. Now, in the Bible, you can open your eyes. Now, I'm going to read you a verse here. Paul said this in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." So Jesus is talking about the bread here. And the Bible says in verse 24, "When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Well, when Jesus died on the cross, his body went through some things so that his body was broken so that we could have healing. So it says the bread represents the body of Jesus. So let's go ahead and do what the Bible says is to break the bread. That symbolizes Jesus' body being broken for us. Now go ahead and eat your bread. Lord, we thank you for what the bread represents. That the bread represents your body being broken for us. We thank you what you went through so we wouldn't have to. Your body was bruised and broken so we could walk in health and healing. And we thank you for it. Verse 25, says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Now this grape juice, kids, it represents the blood of Jesus. And you think, Pastor Mike, why are you talking about Jesus' blood? Well, Jesus' blood, the Bible says, cleanses you or washes away all your sin. The blood cleansing us enables us to be completely made free from sin, which enables us to be able to go to heaven someday. So that's what the blood represents, and that's what this cup is representing. We're not drinking blood, we're drinking juice, but it represents it. So go ahead and drink. And then let's thank Jesus for his blood. Lord, we thank you so much that the blood was shed for us. The Lamb that was without spot and blemish shed his perfect blood for us so we could be free, washed us white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you and we praise you today. We glorify you and magnify you. Well, let's just go ahead and stand up and worship him together. And kids, I encourage you, learn to worship God. Learn to praise him. Go ahead, kids, just lift your hands in the air and just worship him and thank him for his goodness, His mercy. Lord, we love You. We praise You and bless You. The Bible says to lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Why do we lift our hands? Because it blesses Him. It might be uncomfortable. It might be something you're not used to, but it blesses Him. We bless You, Lord. We worship You. Father, we thank You for what You've done. We thank You for where we're going. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, there's fellowship. There's a bunch of goodies. It sounded like a bunch of Super Bowl food over there. But all the kids that are in children's church, if you come up here and line up single file, we have something for you. You are dismissed.